I think there's not really too much further ado. We'll bring James up. James and Coletta have been ministering in Santiago, Chile for the last 20 years and just have some, again, some really interesting and remarkable stories of God's grace in their lives. And so why don't we welcome James?
Everybody, has everyone met my wife? Have you not met my wife? She can stand up so everybody can just see her. Yeah, there you go. Jesus once told his disciples, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Now think about that for a moment. He refers to the kingdom of heaven as something mysterious. And to be honest, I can't think of anything more mysterious than the kingdom of God. It's mysterious because it's the kingdom of the God who says through the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." The more I have been involved in the kingdom of heaven, the more I'm awed by it. I'm baffled by it. We are beginning our 20th year of church planting ministry in Santiago de Chile. And sometimes I feel like I know less about church planting than when we first arrived 20 years ago. In fact, 20 years ago, I knew an awful lot about church planting. But over these 20 years, it seems like God has seldom worked the way we thought He would. Or should. At times that's not easy. One of the worst things that we can have in our relationship with God is an expectation that He doesn't fulfill. And all these doubts and wonders, you know. God, maybe think of Moses. You know, he has this sending. He goes and speaks to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh makes life miserable for the children of Israel. Just the opposite of what... And he goes to God and he says, "God, I did my part. Where are you?" Of course, later, God just says, "I'm Jehovah." That's pretty much all he needed to say. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells a crowd a parable. The parable of the sower. And when he finishes telling this parable, I don't know how many hundreds of people were there, but not one had a clue what he was talking about. Nice story, Jesus, but what does all that mean? Even his disciples approached him later and said, "Lord, what do these things mean?" And that's when Jesus says, "You know, to you guys has been given the unique privilege of understanding something about the mysteries of my kingdom." And he proceeded to give the explanation to this parable. I believe even after the explanation, his disciples didn't have a clue. I don't think they really got it until they began the ministry of sowing God's Word to this world. Oh, that's what he was talking about. These men were foundational to his building of his kingdom. They needed to understand these mysteries. If they were going to be his fishers of men, if they were going to be his witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection, they need to understand the mysteries of his kingdom. Cleta and I, we need to understand this teaching of Jesus as two of his sent ones to Santiago de Chile. You folks here, if you name Jesus as your Savior, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've come to that point through trusting in him and him alone for the only solution for your sin that is possible to mankind, and you put your complete trust and faith in him and in his work on the cross, and you have committed your life, and your life has been transformed from a life oriented by a self-centeredness to one that denies self, takes up his cross, and follows Jesus. Now, hopefully that commitment as a follower of Christ led you to be baptized publicly, unashamedly, proclaiming to the world, I am purposing to follow Jesus for the rest of my life, as imperfect as I am. And hopefully that has led you to be committed to what Jesus gives us as his followers, and that is the task of being disciples of men, to disciple all nations. We need to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We need to understand what is involved in sowing his word to a desperately lost world. I believe that if we don't really understand this parable, understand this teaching of Jesus, we will most likely not do very well as sowers of his word. And if we do so, we probably will not persevere in it. Let's read this explanation together. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I've entitled this message, "The Heartbeat of God at Times is Our Heartache." Because I believe that in this parable, in this teaching, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what many times accompanies our sowing. Yet I don't believe that Jesus gave this parable to his disciples to discourage them. It was to encourage a lifetime of faithful sowing. this is the challenge for us this morning. This is what we want to leave with this morning. A resolve to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ by sowing His Word to the world around us as generously and faithfully as He gives us opportunity. What do we need to understand to be these faithful sowers of God's Word? The first thing we need to understand is that we sow to dead people. That is, as Jesus says, they do not understand it. People are spiritually dead and have no ability in themselves to understand what we're talking about, what we're communicating to them from God's Word. Paul clarifies this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised." Now, this is helpful. Believe me. More and more, the people to whom we sow God's Word to in this world today are going to think we're crazy. They're going to think it's foolishness. Now, doesn't that encourage you to go out and sow God's Word? Now, strangely enough, it encourages me. And I'll tell you why. For one, it helps me to understand fruitlessness. It helps me to understand that rejection after rejection and lack of response is only part of sowing. They go hand in hand. We shouldn't be surprised by it. It shouldn't stop us either. The second thing is it encourages me to depend upon the Holy Spirit. You see, it has to be of Him. I have to be yielded to Him. And as Jesus told His disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't think there's anything where that is more true than in the area of sowing God's Word. So we sow. And we trust in the work that only the Holy Spirit can do. But the rejections, the lack of fruit, they must not stop us. A second truth that we need to understand if we're going to be faithful sowers of God's Word is that we have a powerful enemy who opposes us. Jesus says the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. The god of this world, Paul says, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, folks, I'm just going to come right out and say it. We need you to pray more for us. We need you to pray more for this work in Chile. For over 6 years now, we have been trying to get a foothold on one of the enemy's territories. El Peñón de Hacienda El Peñón de Santiago de Chile. It's a community of about 1,500 homes. They're well-off people, but they desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. Most likely, as we go back, we will be starting this work over for the third time. Two times we've seen this work grow to about 35 people, which is pretty good for Chile, okay? Only to see it dwindle down to just a handful. Now, there are many, many explanations for these declines. Sin, rebelliousness, there's been financial and health issues. You can add the missionary to part of the problem on that list. I honestly cannot really put my finger on any one thing. But one thing that has been very clear to us from the very beginning in this, what is our third church plant, is tremendous opposition. Matthew and Mark record an incident when the disciples of Jesus were unable to cast out a demon from a child. Now, casting out demons was nothing new to his disciples. They had done it many times before. But all of a sudden, they were faced with something that they had no answer for. Well, Jesus arrives. Of course, no problem at all. He casts out the demon, and his bewildered disciples said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus said, this kind only goes out through prayer and fasting. Now think about that. There's different things we can gather from that. One that I see is that at times the enemy, the opposition of the enemy is greater than at other times. We don't understand that, but that's a fact. And Jesus says the response, when it is like that, what do we need to do? We need to take more seriously the spiritual battle. Prayer and fasting. We need you to take more seriously the spiritual battle that rages in Santiago de Chile. And we want to make this very practical and very tangible for you. Beside waking up in the morning and saying, "God bless those Morsies in Chile," we welcome that. But strategically, there are five men to whom we have sown generously the Word of God over the past 5 years. I'm going to mention their names. Okay? Alberto. Jorge. Pancho, Rodrigo, Teo. These five men have received much of God's Word. I believe each one of those men understand the gospel. But not one of them has been transformed by it. If these five men were to be born again, it would transform radically this church plant effort. So what are we asking you to do? We are asking for people who are willing to commit for just one of these men to pray for them every day in the year 2016. If you would do that, write us an email. Tell us which man or all of them that the Lord has put on your heart to pray for. We will send you information about them and keep you updated throughout the year as to what God is doing. Deal? I just want to tell you, I want this to be something that the Holy Spirit puts on your hearts. Because if that is something that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, it will have fruit. And we trust in that. So, If we're going to be faithful sowers, we need to understand that we sow to dead people. We need to understand that we have a powerful enemy that opposes our sowing in so many different ways. And thirdly, sometimes joyful responses to our sowing are our greatest heartache. Jesus says, the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But in the next verse he says, he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. Now this is in contrast to what Paul says about the Thessalonians in 1:6, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So here you have a joy that is really just a human emotion that Jesus talks about. And then you have a joy that is generated by the Holy Spirit. After 20 years of sowing God's word in people's lives, I find it very difficult to tell the difference between one or the other. Initially. Anyone who takes seriously the sowing of God's word has experienced this heartache. We sow, no response. We sow rejection. Time and time and time again. And then all of a sudden, someone shows interest. And we are all in emotionally. We might even write about them in our prayer letters. I might even baptize them based upon their profession of faith. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. They distance themselves from us. And little by little, they begin to show evidence that what happened in their hearts was only a human emotion and had nothing to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. This helps me to understand what happened, God, with Imrah. What happened with Darwin? With Carlos? With Marcelo? I can give you a long, long list. Each one a heartache. Maybe you have your own list. And maybe those heartaches has kept you from being faithful today. Oh, I've done that. I tried that. When this happens, we have to remember that it's not about us. It's not about my heartache. It's about God's heartbeat. His desire. We sow really to please one person and Him alone. We don't let discouragement and disappointment stop us from venturing out again and again and again in spite of the response. More times than not, I must admit, more times than not, heartache is the result. But folks, the joy of the harvest, when it's generated by the Holy Spirit, there's nothing like that. The final thing that we need to understand, if we're going to be faithful sowers of God's Word, is that as sowers, we cannot compete with the attractiveness of this world. Don't even try. Jesus says, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Now, God has called us specifically to plant churches among the professional class in Chile. Now, I'm not going to take the time to explain all that, but you have a missions committee that understands perfectly what that's all about. Okay? If you have any questions, you can ask them. But like most Americans, their lives are consumed with the pursuit of personal peace and prosperity. And more, the people that we sow God's word to are just simply not interested. Because the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, interestingly, one area where we have seen fruit in our ministry is with children. And folks, this is not what I expected. I'm 55 years old. 20 years of church planting experience. And I did not expect my fruitfulness would come with children. Okay? You're going to see on a video we're going to show at the end of this message. A lot of the activities that we do in our neighborhood are focused on children. God has opened the door for us to sow God's word into these little lives in a very unusual way. We have about 15 children that come to our house. They knock on our door. We open the door. And their little eyes look up at us. And they say, "Clase." Class. Bible class. We take a little illustrated Bible that we have. We go sit on the front porch with them. And we read them Bible stories they've never heard before. Get to ask them questions. One of my favorite little boys, about 7 years old, looked up at me one time and said, "Teal, do you know everything about God?" Well, how does that happen? You know, God is opening doors to these little lives. This past year, we started a Happy Hikers Club. You'll see on the visual where we live is pretty beautiful. The mountains around us. And we love going up into those mountains and jogging and hiking. And we began to take some of the older kids, 9 to 12 years old. And we formed a club. And it's actually called the Happy Hikers Club. They like names in English. And we take them about an hour and a half. And at the destination, we'll have a Bible story and have our snack and return home. Inevitably, on the trail, these kids begin to sing. Do you know what they sing? English pop songs. They don't know English, but they know all the words to these English pop songs. And one time there was about 4 10-year-old girls that I was walking with, and they began to sing. Now forgive me for this. They began to sing, "I kissed a girl and I liked it." The draw of the world is so powerful upon these little lives. And it just dawned on me after we explained to them what they were singing. It dawned on me what an uphill battle we have in sowing God's word into their lives. They're so attracted by everything that this world has to offer. But we sow, trusting in only what the Holy Spirit can do. When we go back, we hope to see this little group of middle schoolers become a youth group. And we're going to sow God's word into their lives. And we hope to see that someday these kids will see that what this world has to offer is nothing in comparison to the treasure that is Christ. And that these children will somehow have an experience as Chilean youth that very, very few Chilean youth experience. We love these children. And we're beginning to see that they love and appreciate us. They are worth it. But folks, we're church planters. You can't start a church with children. I don't think I'll live that long. So we need you to pray for their parents as we go back. Well, the parable of the sower also assures us of a harvest. We may not always get to see it, but it's not our kingdom. It's His. It's His doing. Part of this mystery of the kingdom of God is that God takes that mustard seed so small and creates something so big and beautiful. And just one person responding to God's word, one of these five men, can produce a harvest of 100-fold. That's how God works. That's what God invites us to be a part of. We want to encourage you to be generous in your sowing to those around you. Maybe to those that even aren't around you, that you decide to go to, that you know need God's word. Do it to please the Lord. Do it by faith, trusting that He will not let His word return void. That is, He will always accomplish His purpose for the seed sown. Don't let the discouragements of sowing keep you from being faithful to the Lord of the harvest. Believe me, I understand the temptation. But we know that God has called us to Santiago de Chile. And we know that His desire for us is to continue to sow His word into the lives of these children and to the Chilean. The last Sunday we were in Santiago, which was the second Sunday of January, we baptized a man named Rolando. Rolando is 82 years old. So we have children and 82-year-old people. Rolando came to know Christ through a senior moment, okay? We have a men's Bible study that meets every 2 weeks. Of course, he came on the wrong week, which gave us a wonderful opportunity just to speak one-on-one with Rolando. And we sowed a lot of seed into Rolando's heart there in our living room. There was one seed that entered his heart. I shared Romans 10:13. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Just a simple truth. Well, that week Rolando was watching Chilean's national soccer team. Okay. Any soccer lovers here? You have no idea, okay? This is huge in Chile. Everything stops. He is watching this soccer game. And the Holy Spirit is working so powerfully in his heart, he has to get up, go into his bedroom, and call upon the Lord to be saved. That's why we're there. That's why we continue to sow in spite of the heartaches that accompany it. May you be faithful to the task that I believe the Lord has given all of us, to sow His Word that He uses, that the Holy Spirit takes to transform lives. It's His only way. And He's invited us to be a part of it. May we do that faithfully. Now we're going to show right now a video. You'll see some of the children, our happy hikers, and you're going to see three churches mentioned. Those are the churches the Lord's allowed us to be a part of. And it's the last church, Life's Hope Baptist Church, that really needs your prayers. Okay?
It was extremely interesting to me when talking with James and Coletta, even last night, and to hear about the ministry, because so often we think of ministering to the poor and destitute, or in impoverished areas, or just those kinds of situations. And then you stop and you think, well, wait a minute, people even in affluent neighborhoods need the gospel just as much, right? And I think in many ways, because of what James expressed earlier, that you're dealing then with a group of people, right on down to the kids, that at this point in their lives, don't see the need for the Savior. They don't have any needs, really. Their needs are being taken care of, you know, and they live in a nice neighborhood and have plenty of food to eat and a car to drive, etc. And so even more of a reason why they need our prayers. And I for one, want to challenge you, as I'm going to challenge myself in this too, to take up that challenge of praying specifically for them, praying specifically for the ministry, praying specifically for those five men that they see leadership potential in. And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. He shared with us last night. He said, you know, thus far with what they've been sharing with churches and people, they've shared this probably with over, I think he said, 1,000 people. And I think he said they've gotten 6 actual responses from church people saying that they would commit to pray. Could we better that number right here, right now, today, in making that commitment? I mean, seriously, what does it take from us? A matter of seconds? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the more seasoned, Lord, for their ministry, and I want them to be encouraged, Lord. I want them to be encouraged greatly. I know they'll find encouragement from you, God, because you are the great encourager. And your Holy Spirit and the Word of God will continue to do that, Lord. But one of the things that we are supposed to do as the church is to encourage one another. That we are to, Lord, pray for one another. And we are to lift one another up. And we are to be there for one another and love and care and reach out to one another. And Father, I pray that we at First Baptist, as James said, that your Spirit would convict us. At first I was going to say many of us, but there's no reason why we shouldn't say convict all of us. Every last single person who regularly attends this church, to, Lord, take up this challenge and just to pray. this isn't even like, you know, asking for a dollar a day or something like that, Lord, that would be well spent money. But Father, just to pray. I pray that you would help us, each one, to do that. That the Spirit inside of us would convince and convict us to want to pray. Not just to want to pray, but to do it, to put it into practice. And that, Lord, through the prayers of your people, too, it's your will and desire to do awesome and miraculous things. We would pray no less than for all five of these men to be saved, God. Please save them. Lord, they've heard the gospel multiple times, and they'll probably, we pray, even hear it again. But whether that happens again or not, Father, the seed has been sown. And now, Lord, we pray that you will do the work of saving them. And that you already have a plan in place to use these five in the context then of this local ministry. Lord, like was already been said, we don't know the reasons why these things haven't happened yet. And it could be just for this very reason right now, that you want your people praying. That you want your people proactively engaging in this battle, Father. That we would put on the armor of God, Lord, and help to do what needs to be done. Father, we pray for their well-being and safety, of course, the Morrisseys as they travel around and visit other churches and other friends. We pray just for a blessed time with their family, even to be just rejuvenated and again encouraged, and Lord, so that when they do return, Father, they will already start to see some of the fruits of the labors. Lord, we pray for this church plant, that it will start to sprout and start to grow, and that the roots would go deep, Father. So that, Lord, when persecution comes, which we know it will, they will not fall away. When the deceitfulness of wealth and riches come, they will not fall away. But, Lord, this is the soil that Satan can't touch. He will not pull the seed up and scatter it. But, Father, this is the good soil. The soil in which, Lord, this plant, these plants will grow and bear fruit in all different forms and fashion and amounts. So we do pray this. We pray this all in your Son's name. And we all said together, Amen. Amen.